Okay, so our theme this year is being human angels, cultivating the divine in everyday life. And the book the angel cards come from, this is the original angel card book. And we're using as our inspiration these tiny little very fun angel cards this year. And this particular one is the angel card for play, which shows a bunch of people playing with a ball on the beach and a bunch of angels playing with the ball on the beach. So the question becomes, how willing are you to play? And what are the rules you're willing to play by? And what game are you playing anyway? And who made up the rules for that game? And is it okay for you to change them? So that's where I'm going today. What game are you playing, and is it fun for you to play? And I have some suggestions of some games that people play that we might look at. John, would you pass this down?
Yes, certainly.
And David. Many, many of you who've heard me speak before are familiar with Dr. David Hawkins and the book Power versus Force and the Map of Human Consciousness. And I've been working with the Map of Human Consciousness for 15 years at least now. And every time I decide to present it, the handout grows. And so I added several things to the handout this time that haven't been there before. As we think about these states of consciousness that people live in and what rules they're playing by as they're playing that game. So, for example, if you're living in shame, grief, fear, or anger, you have an adrenaline-based metabolism. Your body produces adrenaline in response to those emotional states, and you have a flight or fight reaction. That's generally how people refer to those states of consciousness. The game they're playing is flight or fight. And rule number one for the fear part of the spectrum is run. Get away from whatever it is because you're in trouble. Rule number two for the anger is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So if you're in that place, you have rules that run the game that you're playing. And so the questions we're asking today, what game are you playing? What rules are you playing by? And whose rules are they? Are applying to every one of these states of consciousness. And those ones below 200 on the map of human consciousness tend to be painful places to live. And the responses tend to generate more of what you're giving out. So if you're giving out fear, you attract more to be afraid of. If you're giving out anger, you attract anger back from other people and more reasons to fight. So whatever we're focusing on, we tend to get more of. And that energy runs our lives. Well, then as you move up the map, as Hawkins describes it, you come to the level of courage, which he says is the dividing line between negative emotion and neutrality. And as you come into that space of neutrality and courage and you move beyond anger and fear, your mind and your heart come into greater ease and coherence with one another, which develops a really different chemistry in your body. And as your body chemistry changes, you perceive differently. You develop greater sensitivity, and you have more openness to possibility. And so that joy, so if one of your rules is you're not allowed to play in church, Shame might be the reaction, and this isn't church, so it's okay to play by different rules. We play by it's okay to have fun rule, and we're not asking anybody to feel shame. The rules for this middle ground is rule number one is the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this whole area is the tend and befriend area. So the first area, the lower below 200 is fight or flight. The second area between 200 and 500 is tend and befriend. And that allows your understanding to move forward. Now, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, works until you discover that when you do unto others what you would have them do unto you, they don't like it. And all of a sudden you realize that maybe other people's preferences are different than yours, and that it's okay for there to be a variety in the world. And then you develop the platinum rule, I want for you what you want for you. And you expand into a greater possibility of seeing well-being for others, even if it's different from you. It comes to an appreciation of diversity that you might not have under other circumstances. And then as we move beyond love and to unconditional love and ultimately to peace and oneness and enlightenment, you move into an endorphin-based metabolism. And then they have what's called the diamond rule. What I do to you, I do to me, because we are one. And you begin to realize that whatever you give out, you're getting back. And that that energy that you live your life by is the energy that you're going to see more of, whatever it happens to be. So these are potential games that we can play. And one of the things that came to my attention as I was preparing for this talk is the idea of six-word memoirs. And you have a handout on six-word memoirs there. It's summing up your life in six words. And I really liked the competitive person who said, I can do it in five. And the person who chose seven by, I'm not so good at following rules. So each of us gets to sum ourselves up in six words. That's one of the exercises we're going to do in the second half of this activity. But I started to think about these levels of human consciousness and the games people play. And at the flight or fight level, at rule number one, run, the six-word memoir might be, I let fear run my life. And at the fight level, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, it might be, I rule my domain with rage. There's six-word memoirs to sum up. At the golden level, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, this is the one I've chosen for myself recently. My game is flowing unconditional love. That's my last six-word memoir. And I want for you what you want for you might be summed up as, I let joy be my quest. And when you're in endorphin-based metabolism, is a six-word memoir is, I'm willing to melt into bliss. So what we say indicates the game that we're playing. And I was going on a vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I was all ready. I had all the stuff on the bed ready to go in the suitcase. And a friend of mine sent me a description of the restaurants and the resort we were going. And the dress code for every one of them said a dress or a skirt for women. Now, I hadn't worn a skirt in 10 years. So that was a little befuddling the day before I was due to go, that I all of a sudden had this, and I started to push against it real time. It's, you know, who are they to set rules for me? It's a resort. It's casual. They'll let me eat no matter what. I don't have to go to the fancy restaurants. But I was going with a lot of friends, and I wanted to go where they went, wherever it was. So I thought, okay, how can I make a game out of this? How can I make it be fun instead of something to be angry about? And so I decided to be 4 years old and play dress-up. So I went into my closet and I found all the dresses I used to wear 20 years ago and 15 years ago when I was still wearing pantyhose. And I found all of these sparkly things and beaded things that I hadn't worn for years and suits that I used to wear when I actually had a job. And I decided that I would play dress-up while I was down there. So I did. I was the only one of my friends who wore a skirt every night. But I had fun with it. And I continued to do it when I got home. I've worn dresses several times since I've been home, which is just a shock to all my friends who've never seen me in a skirt. So we get to make up the game. I didn't want to change the rules. I wanted to play with the rules and see how much fun I could have within the rules. Because sometimes we're playing a game that's set up with other people, and if you know the rules, it's a whole lot easier and it's a lot more fun. And I've been playing Candy Crush Saga on my iPhone lately. Any of you know that game? Are you familiar with that? No? Yeah. Groups for games. Yes. Well, I love that game because it's been a spiritual lesson over and over again for me to be playing that game. And I was noticing that something in my life was pushing my buttons. I was seeing the name of a person that I haven't laid eyes on in 10 years or more in my life, but she was involved in a list that I was on the internet, and I was seeing her name and I was getting this ouchy feeling about it. And I kept thinking, what is it about her that makes me feel ouchy? Why is this pushing my buttons? And then my friend told me to play Candy Crush Saga because it was fun. So I went to Candy Crush Saga and I realized that in this game they change the rules on every level. And if you're going to succeed on every level, you have to perceive the game differently. And you have to learn a new set of skills and abilities and apply them differently, or you won't make it to the next level. And then I realized the game was pushing my buttons. And I thought, well, that's weird. What's going on with that? I play lots of games where you don't win every level, and I'm patient. And I looked at it closely, and every time, hi, how cute are you? Every time I didn't make the next level, the message came back from the game, you failed. It says several times, you failed to meet your goal, you failed to pass this level. And I was getting my buttons pushed, and I thought, okay, is there some correlation between these two places I'm getting my buttons pushed this week? And I realized that the reason that seeing that woman's name push my buttons is that I had a sense that I failed to love her properly before she moved away. I wasn't able to connect with her. I wasn't able to be her friend in a way that was satisfying to both of us. I felt like I failed, and that was pushing my buttons. But I looked at the game, and I thought, how do I approach games? Well, it isn't a failure that I didn't make it to the next level. I played on that level. I experienced that level. I began to observe the rules on that level and learn to follow the rules on that level. I developed skills and abilities, and the next time I tried it, I did better. And I could see that I was making progress, even though I wasn't passing the level. I might get one of the goals rather than all three of them, but I was making progress. The first time I tried it, I was out with nothing. So the ending of a level wasn't a failure. It was an opportunity to laugh and say, I have another chance to try. So when the tower falls, when you're playing with your blocks, it isn't a failure, it's another chance to try. And so if there's someone who's been in my life who hasn't stayed, who I didn't feel like I loved well, that's just another opportunity to love well the person who happens to be there today, to learn some new rules, to find out how to do it better, and to become better at loving whoever happens to be in my life right now. So those are the things that I learned from Candy Crush. I learned to learn that there are always more rules, that there are always more opportunities, and the whole point is to play the game. We aren't trying to win, necessarily. We are learning to be successful and enjoy playing the game. And sometimes we can obstruct the game somebody else is playing, and that's fun too. Early on in metaphysics, Florence Shovel Shinn, in 1925, wrote a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And we're all playing the game of life in our own way, with our own rules. And we're having a little bit of fun, or a lot of fun, or no fun at all. But we get to choose. We get to choose every single day. And the other lesson that I've been hearing from myself that's been helping me understand my life is this opportunity to notice that I get to decide what the rules are. I get to decide the rules I'm applying to myself every day. And if I'm going to cooperate with other people's rules or I'm going to push against them, if I'm going to rewrite the game so I'm playing dress up rather than filling the dress code, I get to choose. I get to decide what's important to me. And when I was in Mexico, I was with six friends who all had differing opinions about what we should be doing and when. And at one point, I decided to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get in line to get a good seat at the workshop with 1,000 people in it. And my friend said, "Don't worry, I got it covered. I'll be there at 5:15. We'll get a good seat." And it was 4:08 when I got out of bed and said, "I get to decide what's important, and I want to go now." And when I got dressed and went out, she said, "I'm going at 5:15. There's nobody there now." I said, "Oh, there are people there now." And when I got there, I was number 12 at 4:15. She had been number 11 at 5:15 the previous day, but every day the workshop went on, it got more competitive in the morning. But I decided that I wanted to go, and she said she had never heard me be as direct and clear about anything as I was when I said, "There are people there now." And I realized that I wasn't really going to get in line to get a good seat at the workshop, although that was a side benefit of it. I had some people that I wanted to meet and talk to. And they were in line on either side of me. And I ended up having this incredible conversation with these women for several hours where I got to share some things that were really important to me to share with somebody. And the perfect people turned up in that moment. And it was very exciting to me that I was inspired to go and to break her rule that she was in charge. She wasn't. I get to decide what's important to me. And I get to decide what's important to me in my life. And I realized that I spent my whole life as an overachiever. I felt like if I didn't get straight A's, I wouldn't be loved. And I remember my first semester in college, I was taking six credits and six courses, 18 credits, plus gym and being a freshman and adjusting to college life. And I got five A's and a B. And my mother, I called home to tell my mother what I got on my report card, and my brother was home from college. And I said, I got 5 A's and a B, and she repeated it to my brother and his friends who were having dinner at her house. My brother was a 193 average in college his first couple of years. The response my brother had was, 5 A's and a B, what did she flunk? Because not getting an A was failure for me, and I had that button being pushed of, it's not okay for me to fail. I won't be loved if I fail. And all of a sudden I thought, you know, I'm still living out that energy. I'm seeing it in this game. I'm seeing it in relationships that didn't turn out the way I wanted them to. I'm still in the place where I don't feel lovable if I'm not perfect. And what a powerful thing it is to just look at what's happening in our lives and see what rules we're playing by and whose rules were they. Do they still apply? And recognizing that I'm the one who gets to decide which rules I'm going to follow. I get to decide. I get to decide what's important. I get to decide what's important for me. And I get to let everybody else decide what's important for them. And that, to me, is a powerful definition for unconditional love. It's recognizing the beauty of each person and that they have within them the same guidance I do that helps us decide what's important. And so this is the stuff that's been inspiring me for the last month or so as I've been focusing on this idea. And I looked up to see what Ernest Holmes said about games and play. Ernest Holmes was the founder of Science of Mind, which is what we teach here. And he said in the book Ideas of Power, Ernest said, play and enthusiastic interest makes the kids sing and dance and jump up and down and scream. And you know adults would. But as Wordsworth said, experience closes around them until they're encased in a prison wall and they forget that celestial palace when they came. Isn't it too bad that people, when they grow up, won't still scream and holler a little and jump up and down a little and once in a while say something that they have not premeditated to relieve the tension and let the holier ones be surprised? Who cares? What other people think of me is none of my business is the name of a book. And I get to decide what's important to me is the same message. What other people say is none of my business. I get to decide what's important to me. So I invite you to ask yourself, what game are you playing and by what rules? And consider the fact that maybe you can change them if you don't like them. Thank you. Yay.